You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Brian Kilby here. Sorry for the late show, but waiting for a segment to get to me. Silverbolt Maniac. Not the point. It's not his fault. Usually uploads a file to Zoom, but and I download it. But thanks to Zoom, the file is not there. So I had to wait, but as of yet, haven't gotten it, so I started the show without it. Kind of laid-back atmosphere, just sitting here leaning, half asleep. I haven't even started with all the show stuff, all my skits and everything that I have written, because I have none. Because I've been lazy. I have been lazy and sick. I did have an idea for a segment that I think I want to do next week, though. I think I want to review the old Famicom Return of Convoy game. I was going to do that once we got the new site up, which it's not a new site, really. It's just a modified version of the current one. But I've been so lazy about getting stuff like that done. Have that and a ton of fanfics that need to be written. But I've been slow about that, so I decided I'll just go ahead and do that next week. It gives me a reason because, as you heard the theme there, I'm sort of back in a video game type of mood. That was The Legend of Zelda. Kind of sold my N64 last year, thinking that I didn't want it anymore. But, I'm going to buy another one because I just miss Legend of Zelda, that, and I can get Ridge Racer 64. I'm a huge Ridge Racer and Tekken fan. I can get Ridge Racer 64 for like $19 at Walmart, so I'm going to go buy an N64. Have them on clearance at Staples for like $65. That was like with the expansion pack and Donkey Kong Country 64, so I think I'll get that. And now that I think of it, I have that much money on me now. May go get one, as soon as Chris out there. Hey, Chris, Brian, you're listening. You want to go to Staples this week and get an N64? Okay, now that that's out of the way. Let me see. What do we have on the show this week? Honestly, I have no clue. Okay, that's hyperbole, I do know. We have the ATT Buzz with John DeLuna, which that's like everyone's favorite segment. Mine too. We have Bad Poets Corner, news from Cybertron, Goldimus Prime. Finally, I found those Beast Machines reviews of his. We have that. What else happened this week? I got a Gundam. Yeah, Gundam. 144 scale. Wing Gundam Zero. That's pretty cool. Looking at him and putting them together, though, I realize I hate stickers. That's one thing I like about Beast Wars stuff. I'm looking at Big Convoy here, and if you can avoid looking at the kibble, he's just an awesome toy, and I didn't have to put a single sticker on him. All the little ornamental stuff is molded in. He's awesome. Take something, let me think, look over my G1 stuff. Defensor, he's awesome too, but he's got a ton of stickers. Not a ton, but he has a lot of stickers. And I just don't like putting stickers on. It's just too much work for, not enough reward. I'd rather the stuff be molded in, and that's why I'm not looking forward to Brave Maximus. Yeah, Turin told me he had like 55 stickers, apparently. Fort Max did, and I didn't have Fort Max. So, oh boy, that's a lot of stickers and a lot of time to waste. Time which I don't always have. But as far as the Gundam mode goes, the Gundam toy model, it's pretty cool, very poseable. Just, it took me about an hour to put together, and I really need to paint it, but I don't know when I'll get around to doing that. It makes me want some of the bigger toys, though, the 1 to 100 scale. I might actually buy some of those now, because they look pretty awesome. I actually considered doing a Gundam section for the show, segment, because I've been watching the show, and there's just so much to it, and I don't know. If anyone out there would like a Gundam segment or something, email us, let us know. We'll try to find someone who's like an expert. Or if you're an expert in Gundam and you want to do a segment, email me, brian@tfradio.com, and tell me. And we'll try to work something out there. I don't know. But I'm getting into the show now. I used to watch it and just couldn't stand the monotone voice in which some of the characters spoke with. But it's like, hi, I have to fight the Gundams. But to do so, I know that I must die. But to die is a good thing because I want to die to save my people from the Romafeller Foundation because they are evil and I, that, you know. But I'm getting into it with all the explosions and stuff. An episode I saw this past week, Lens X Marquise was in the Tall Geese in space fighting. And he's overpowered by all the mobile suits. And he got out into the Wing Gundam Zero and they like blew it up. But they didn't blow it up. That was awesome. And he like destroyed them. I can see why people like that show now. Oh well. Let's see here. Also this week, I went to go see Highlander Endgame. I'm a huge Highlander fan. At one point, I was a bigger Highlander fan than a trans fan. I don't know what to say about this movie. As a as an episode of Highlander, the TV series, it works fine. It has too many of the stupid Highlander 3 action, magical, special effects stuff, which I'm not fond of. But it's not, you know, it doesn't feel like a movie like Highlander 1 did. And I don't want it to feel like Highlander 2, which I have no clue what that feels like. And I don't want to know, because it's just such a horrible, horrible film. But as a as an episode of the show, it works quite well. But, it's don't go into this movie if you want to go see it, expecting it to be a movie. Because you will be disappointed. But I enjoyed it. And finally, before I get into the stuff, I'm just going to just want to mention all this re-releasing of the G1 toys. I don't mind it so much. Sometimes if they release something that I don't have, I might jump on it. Like Hot Rod. I have a Target Master Hot Rod, or I had Target Master Hot Rod until I traded him. I might get that. But I've heard lately that Digital Toys Bantha Trader told someone via email that they are releasing the Neo Unicron. And that will probably, as I've been told, might be released in a G1 style box. While that's pretty cool, I don't expect to see it, but if I do, I will definitely buy that. It's supposed to be about Optimus size. But if it is released, that would be pretty cool, and that would be definitely something worth getting. Instead of, you know, re-releasing Bumblebee or something like that. Which, you know, Bumblebee is a pretty cool toy anyway. Oh well. Coming up now here on Radio Free Cybertron is the news from Cybertron. Alt.toys.transformers, the longtime forum for discussing Transformers and Transformers-related material, got a new poster this week when a rhesus monkey bought a Transformers shirt at Hot Topic, found Web TV on clearance at Walmart, and became an expert in all things Transformers. His first post begged for information on, and I quote, the upcoming Transformers movie. His later posts veer off topic into the realms unknown, i.e. G.I. Joe, Gundam, and the X-Files. After typing up posts in all caps for the last week, this poster, whose handle is Insane TF Master G1 Forever, was kill-filed by all. It came back a week later as Insane TF Master G1 Forever 2. Abominous and legal problems with HUD, the Office of Housing and Urban Development, declined an interview with Radio Free Cybertron. It seems that Abominous signed up for public housing and listed himself as 5 different people. But HUD officials found that he stays merged. It's a lot easier this way, said Abominous. People don't ask me, what is that thing? Referring to blot. Pretty much, all the people do is scream. I like that. In an attempt to get laughs, here's the computer laughing for 5 seconds. And that is the news from Cybertron.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the best in Transformers on the internet.
Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is John Luna with the ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and this week, let me tell you, after my first week of college, the only reason that I'm doing this for you, the fans, is because I love you just as much as you love me. You, the loyal fans, my public, my fanatic listeners. The only reason I have mustered enough energy to do this report is for you, baby. Because after 1 week of college, I'm ragged. I've gotten maybe 2 hours of sleep the last 3 days, and I'm fixing to go insane. Especially when you consider that this news group, as far as news goes for the past week and a half, has pretty much sucked. Because there has been no real news to note, and I guess that's expected. It's the fall, it's the off-season, the cartoon show's kind of rumbling along. There's a lull in new toys, although Silverbolt and Night Viper are beginning to show up online, and I'm sure they're going to pop up in stores pretty soon. Also, there's some other issues going on in the world of trans fandom. Not much, but there are a few interesting points, so let's get to them. Okay, first up, yours truly discovered, I guess, found on a web page and posted to ATT, another Super Fire Convoy variant. Yes, we get two different boxes. We get an exclusive contest black Super Fire Convoy. We get the regular Fire Convoy. And now there's a clear Super Fire Convoy made out of translucent sparkly plastic. Yes, Takara. What's going on here? I mean, you know, we shouldn't be surprised, but I'm no less disappointed in Takara for this. Repaint City. You know, I like repaints. I like their potential. I like it when a toy company goes back, takes a mold, improves it, or goes about the color scheme in a totally different way. It creates a new character, or at least it did for a while. I mean, even Hasbro has gone to recoloring and not even bothering to make a new character out of the toy, which is terrible to me. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I like recolors, is because it's a new character, and it's a fast way to make one, and it's an interesting way to fill out a line. But Takara, especially with Car Robots, has gone too far, especially with the DeStrongers. I mean, look at these guys. Out of the entire faction, there is one toy that has a completely new mold. The rest are recolors of previously released toys from somewhere around the world. Now, most of them, if not all of them, are nice recolors, but they're all recolors. Oh, and that one completely original mold, Gigatron, guess what? We get a repaint. And the pictures of Devil Gigatron have started to pop up, especially on DigitalToys.com, the dealer. They're pretty infamous for getting new toy picks from overseas first. They've had the prototypes for the last few series on there first, and now they have Devil Gigatron. And my main problem with Devil Gigatron is there is nothing about this paint job that looks like a devil. If anything, he looks like an angel. I mean, he's all in white. Oh, and those extra four modes are nothing to do with remolds or tweaking with the actual toy. They're just extra modes that the designers or some fan looked at and pushed and squeezed out of the existing toy. So basically, he is just a repaint. Devil Gigatron is not a new toy. He's not 3 inches taller than the original Gigatron, like the rumors said. It's just another freaking repaint. And frankly, I'm fed up with it. I mean, Takara, come on. I mean, I know you're in trouble. I know that repaints are a cheap way to keep a line going, to fill out the ranks, but still, this really is overkill. And while we're on the subject of Takara, it does look like Ultra Magnus and Hot Rod will be released in Japan again in original packaging, just like Anniversary Millennium Convoy, or whatever they call them, Optimus Prime, was a few months ago. And I had my doubts, but it looks like it's going to happen because a lot of online stores have gotten confirmation from Japan. And they're, of course, pre-ordering Ultra Magnus and Hot Rod for something like between $40 and $80 a piece, which isn't that great of a deal when you consider you can get the originals, although not in sealed brand new shape, but you can have the genuine articles, at least in Ultra Magnus' case, for almost that much in very good condition, maybe even with a box. But, you know, for the casual collector, I don't have a problem with it. Even as a serious collector, which I am, lots of people would consider me to be against it because it could potentially ruin the value of all the money that I've spent on toys. Well, all I've got to say is look at Anniversary Convoy. He hasn't affected Mint and Box Optimus Primes or loose Optimus Prime prices at all. In fact, the price for Anniversary Convoys has skyrocketed, especially for the black Japanese Convention Convoy edition. I mean, those suckers go for $150. I mean, it's not very far off from a Mint and Box G1 Optimus Prime. So as far as Ultra Magnus and Hot Rod goes, I'm cool with it. It's not that bad of a deal. Now, the choices in toys strike me as kind of funny. Ultra Magnus, I can see. It's kind of a lazy cop-out because, well, they've got the Optimus Prime mold already there, and Ultra Magnus is basically just Optimus Prime with a big, cheap plastic trailer. It's a nice toy, but, I mean, that's all he is. So that was a pretty easy choice for Takara. Now, Hot Rod, on the other hand, that's kind of odd to me. I mean, I can think of a few other molds, if available, I would definitely re-release before Hot Rod. He just strikes me as something that Takara in the Japanese market might not consider very important on the priority list, at least not to me. I mean, before I think of Hot Rod, as far as Transformer Legends, I think of Soundwave and Megatron, or that probably won't happen because that mold, even if it's still around, is dated. I mean, the gun, a little too lifelike, the mold, a little too complicated, a little too expensive to retest and put back into production, that kind of thing. But as far as Ultra Magnus and Hot Rod goes, you know, I'm cool with it. Go ahead. Have fun. It worked. It got casual collectors Optimus Prime a few months ago. It can get the casual fans two more pieces of G1 for slightly cheaper prices than they'd be forced to pay on eBay. Okay, to close out the buzz, just a few more news tips and maybe a little something on G1 episodes. First, Previews, the magazine that shows ordering information for comic book stores and stuff, had a few pictures of a couple new Beast War toys in the last week or so. Another Dinobot is coming out, and it's really makes no sense at all when you first think about it. It's called Rapticon. It's a repainted Transmetal Pterosaur, which looks nothing like T-Rex or the repainted Neo Dinobots. See, those first four toys do look like they belong to each other. I mean, all four of them, or five of them, are organic. They all look like the same faction. Even Magmatron, who's going to be part of the Dinobot line, is made up of totally organic-looking animals. But Transmetal Pterosaur looks nothing like any of them. I mean, he looks like a poor man's Skydot. And it makes no sense that he's a Dinobot until you realize that. Chances are, this was probably a last-minute decision. The repainted Transmetal Pterosaur was probably, most likely, going to be a Fox Kids edition Transmetal, just like Waspinator and Rattrap and Rhinox and Cheetor and Tarantulas and the like. And Air Razor. But, as we all know, Fox Kids is going to pull the plug on Beast Machines after showing the second season once, and they've already pulled the Beast Wars reruns off of everyday television, seemingly for good. So, Hasbro probably really couldn't put the now-on-Fox Kids slogan on that Transmetal Pterosaur, and so they did the next best thing. They put him on a Dinobot card, and there you go. An extra Dinobot. Also, more interestingly, Previews had a picture of Savage Noble. And it looks really nice, actually. I'm not a fan of Beast Machines, and I'm really not a fan of mutants. And that's basically what Savage Noble is. He's a glorified mutant, deluxe toy. But I've got to say, I'm impressed, if anything, with the engineering. I mean, he looks really good in both modes. He looks almost perfect as Savage. And even though he's a little too red in wolf mode as Noble, he still looks nice. He's still got a good form. He's got a good shape. Now, about those G1 episodes, it seems on ATT that there's been kind of a renaissance about G1 episodes. Lots of people are watching their old tapes. Lots of people are getting old tapes of the G1 series and discussing them, reviewing them, just kind of waxing nostalgic about them, which is great. I think G1 episodes are a nice change of pace from Beast Wars and Beast Machines, especially Beast Machines. They didn't take themselves seriously. It was just a fun show. It was like a campy romp. It's almost like Pokemon, only maybe not that silly. It's a fun show to watch. I mean, yeah, it's silly. It's full of animation errors. The dialogue's bad. The characterization can be a little bland sometimes. But overall, it's entertaining. I mean, it's still entertaining after all these years. You put a 5-year-old or even a 10-year-old down in front of a TV, show them a few episodes of G1, and I guarantee you they will be just as entertained and just as interested in the show as any other contemporary show right now. And I mean, all that does is prove to me is that today's kids shows are good. Yesterday's kids shows are good. They're all good. I mean, if you don't like today's kids shows, all that says to me is they're not meant for you. I mean, when somebody says, "I don't get this show," chances are, 90% of the time, that show's not intended for them anyway. So, when people say, you know, G1 is stupid, well, chances are that's coming from a 20-year-old who barely remembers Transformers, and looking back and seeing those G1 episodes isn't going to help, because those G1 episodes aren't made for 20-year-olds, they're made for 5 and 8-year-olds, maybe 10-year-olds, maybe some sick, lonely 13-year-old, but, you know, you get my point. They're made for kids. And as long as you keep that in mind, as long as you keep your mind in kiddie mode, you'll enjoy G1 episodes, and I am. Especially Prime Problem, which has been reviewed on the news groups lately, and The Master Builders, which has also been reviewed on the news groups lately. And that's what I want to see on ATT. I want to see more reviews of G1 episodes, because they spark good-natured, for the most part, conversation. We get away from the trolls. We get away from all the bad attitude. That's one thing that's nice about G1 and Beast Wars starting right now. It's beginning to form its own aura of nostalgia. And nostalgia, if anything, even though it can be kind of dangerous, it can be kind of bad, if anything, nostalgia does keep the commentary and the discussions clean and in a good mood. And that's always good for ATT, especially now, in this day and age, when the quality of the posts are a little thin. But, you know, if we keep it going, if we keep our hopes up, we keep on task and on topic, ATT is still a great place, and it still is the premier Transformer group. And that is the ATT Buzz for this week. I am John DeLuna.
Argonauts, report to me at once. Every time I look into a monitor, Brian, my circuits get a sizzling and my gristles get a bristling. And what did you say? I said every time I look into a monitor, oh, never mind, circuits get a sizzling.
Muy bueno. And now coming up on Radio Free Cybertron is Goldimus Prime, with a review of the McBeast Machines, second wave.
Okay, last week I reviewed 3 of the McDonald's Beast Machines toys and 3 servings of the food. I really suggest you listen to that if you haven't, because it's just fun. Anyway, I'm reviewing McJetstorm, McRattrap, and McBlackarachnia from the McDonald's Beast Machines line. Here we go. Jetstorm is pretty nice in vehicle mode, and aside from being a bit cartoonish, that is, poorly drawn, is a good representation of the show model. He's blue and yellow with a gray gooseneck and translucent red eyes on his cockpit. Robot mode is weird. His torso is molded on the underside of the jet mode, like many people predicted, and the wings pull out to form weird arms for him, lacking in hands, too. Jetstorm is pretty cool in jet mode, but leave him on robot mode, you'll miss nothing. Rattrap is something of a balance between the Mega and the show, but his molding is nicely show accurate. Robot mode has a couple problems. One, it's ugly, and two, it can't hardly stand up on its own. Rattrap's best selling point, in my opinion, is that he makes a semi-decent stand-in until the toy comes out in 2006. Black Arachnia is the worst of the group. Her robot mode can't even stand up without help from the legs stuck on her spider abdomen, which is very unstable. Loose, you know. The result is a robot mode which falls down if you look at it too hard. Seriously. Beast mode is just plain bad. The rear pair of legs can't touch the ground in any way in beast mode because of how they're used in robot mode. And her color scheme is totally pink, with very small bits of yellow. A very ugly color scheme. The second wave toys are probably the worst in the line. Unless you want a Rattrap toy, do not bother here. And since that was pretty short, I'm going to go ahead and do the last three, I think. Thrust is odd. He's floppy in vehicle mode and doesn't really have a set robot mode. The only halfway neat thing is the stand he comes with for robot mode, which doesn't do half bad to hold him up. His lower body is blue, with blue translucent arms and a purple head and upper torso. Night Scream, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, is probably the best in the group. He's got a nice robot mode, if you ignore that show accurate head, and his beast mode, for what it is, works very nicely. Color scheme is mostly brown and yellow, with bits of blue, and his robot legs and bat wings are translucent blue, flexible translucent blue, which I wasn't previously aware they could make. In fact, there goes my whole rant on translucent plastic that I've been writing. Anyway, Tangor has the best vehicle mode of all, basically dead on with the show appearance. His transformation is simple in how robot mode parts are moved into place, but it causes a problem or two. His legs are very stubby, and his arms can't bend down past the right angle to his upper arms. It's like if you can only hold your arms in L position. So that basically eliminates any useful posing of the arms. The torso is also too big, like 3/4 of the height is made up of the torso. And Tangor has a nice blue and gray color scheme, with black treads, yellow stripes along the top of the rear treads. Third wave has a couple nice pieces, and Thrust. It's definitely better than the second wave, so overall, once you're a completist, I'd just go for the first and third waves. I'm going to rate the group as a whole at a solid 7 out of 10. This is Goldenus Prime for Radio Free Cybertron. You know, Night Scream kind of looks like a little kid when you set him next to one of the bigger Beast Machines toys. That already looks like a little monkey.
And thank you, Goldie. Coming up now on Radio Free Cybertron is Bad Poets Corner, and the poem this week is called Beast Wars. Animals abound on what they'll find is earth. Maximals against Predacons, fighting for their worth. Proto-humans running around, annoying as can be. Watch seasons 1 and 2, and skip season 3. What may surprise you that you will find? Dinobot is mentally tortured, in a suicidal state of mind. In G1, you had guys joking, playing ball, and laughing like a sap. Beast Wars is great, I say. It is not beast crap. That's Radio Free Cybertron for this week. Not a whole lot. I've not had any free time. I've been sick. Fever. Shakes. My hair falling out. My tongue turns black. But I'm feeling better now. So tune in next week. We'll have more stuff. I promise. We will. I'll make sure Turin does something. He got Anniversary Convoy. I want a review of that. Do you hear me? I want a review. Okay, that's Radio Free Cybertron. Thanks for listening, and don't hold this against me. Bye. Thank you.